God had a strong desire to have a dwelling in the low parts of the world. That means in the material world. This world is like a challenge. God wanted to see a world which is far from him because it's material, it's not spiritual. And nevertheless, this world which is material should become spiritual by the spiritual work of the man. When a man works as he should in this world, in his body, in the matter, he elevates the matter and he liberates, so to say, the divine spark which is inside the matter. That's the reason why we came to this world. So when we come to this world, the main thing with which we deal with this material world is to work. When we work, when we have a professional activity, we invest first our physical strength, our physical power, our body in this physical activity which is called work. And we transform the world around us through this. So when we gain money, this money is the result of a material process, the process of working. And when we use this money to help the other people to make a mitzvah, through this we elevate the whole professional activity. The whole professional activity has no spiritual goal, and it gains and it gets elevated. And since the purpose of coming to this world is to elevate the material world and to make it spiritual, that's the reason why the tzedakah, which enables us to do this, is called the mitzvah. It's the mitzvah by excellence, according to the Yerushalmi. This is the way Hasidut explains this Yerushalmi. Now, we are going to speak of many things concerning tzedakah. What is the best way of doing tzedakah? To whom? When? What can we expect from the mitzvah of tzedakah in our personal life? Who should ask for tzedakah and who shouldn't ask for tzedakah? I want to treat all these aspects. First of all, what is the best way of giving tzedakah? The Shulchan Aruch in the Yoredeah and also the Rambam in Mishneh Torah tells us from the Shas there are 8 degrees in tzedakah. They count them from the top, from the best, up to the lowest degree of tzedakah. So the best degree of tzedakah, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is when we give to someone who is not yet at the level of begging. But, you know, he has problem in his profession. For instance, he has some factory and he's threatened by bankrupt. So the Shulchan Aruch says, in this case, you offer to him a work or a partnership or a loan before he comes to the point to ask for tzedakah. So this is the top, this is the highest level of tzedakah. Why? Because you avoid someone the shame to ask. You preserve his dignity. And you will see, when I will tell you what are the 8 degrees in tzedakah, we'll analyze the spirit of the halacha. We won't just describe the halacha. And you will see that this care of preserving the dignity of the people is really essential by Chazal. So the first degree, the top degree of tzedakah, is to give to someone when he is not yet to a point that he should ask for it. The second degree is to give in a way which is completely anonymous. And the Shulchan Aruch says, this is when you give into a box of tzedakah and there is someone who is trustworthy and he will give this money to the needy. So in such a case, you don't know to whom you give, and the person who receives doesn't know from whom he receives. because there is a medium man between us, and this medium man is the gabbai, the person who is in charge of tzedakah, of giving the funds to the poor people. So this is the second way. Why? Because it is anonymous. And what is the advantage when it is anonymous? The first advantage is that you don't know to whom you give. So the giver is protected from pride. Because when you give openly, there may be something which is not lishma. That means you don't give for the sake of the mitzvah. Subconsciously, maybe you give just to show off, or because you expect a thank you from the person. And that's the reason why it's better to give to someone who doesn't know you. And this is a first thing. But there is a second thing. The fact that when the poor man doesn't know it comes from you, so he's not ashamed to take from you. His dignity is preserved. So these are the first two degrees of tzedakah, from the top level and we go up to the bottom. The third degree of tzedakah is when you give to someone, and for instance, you put in his letterbox. So in that case, you know to whom you gave, but he doesn't know it comes from you. So it's not completely as anonymous as the second degree, because in the second degree, nobody knows. I don't know to whom it goes, and he doesn't know it comes from me, because there is a medium man. Here, I know that I put in his letterbox, but at least he doesn't know it comes from me. This is the third degree. The fourth degree, and it will be difficult but very interesting to understand why the fourth degree is after the third and not the opposite. But first of all, let's describe what is the fourth degree. The fourth degree is the reverse situation. Namely, tzaddikim were going into poor neighborhoods, the Shulchan Aruch says, and they had a bag in their bags, and this bag was full of coins, and the poor people were coming and were taking in the bag, and the tzaddik would never turn his face in order not to put to shame the man who took. So in that case, the man who took the tzedakah knows it comes from this person, but the giver doesn't know to whom he gave. So it's half anonymous, like the third degree. And now the question is, why in the Shulchan Aruch the third degree is before the fourth? I repeat the situations. The third degree I put in the letterbox of the poor man. I know that I gave to this man, but he doesn't know it comes from me. The fourth degree is the reverse situation. He took in my back, and I didn't turn my face to him when he did it, not to put him to shame. So he knows it comes from me, but I don't know that I gave to him. So why the third is before the fourth? Yes.
The very acts of a person having to come to... In the third degree, it's a person who comes and takes the money from the bag, correct?
No, it's the fourth.
That was the degree. And the third degree is the other way around.
Yeah.
In the fourth degree, so let's say I have to go to that person. It's embarrassing for me to have to go to the person. It doesn't matter if he's not going to see me. But it's embarrassing that I have to go up to him in the first place. And
because maybe the people in the street will see you.
See me. But the other way is, you know what, I'm fine, but no, I'm not going up to that person. I'm not in the street, and I can still feel like my poverty is in privacy, so therefore it's less embarrassing.
I understand. This is a first answer. It's a good answer. You can give two other answers. One answer is that when you give tzedakah, listen well, it's written in Tehillim, in the Psalms, Ashrei maskil el dal. Happy the man who is intelligent with the needy. Maskil, sechel. It's not written, happy the man who gives to the needy. Ashrei maskil. Happy the man who is intelligent to the needy. That means when you give, you have to think. Tzedakah is the mitzvah by excellence that you are entitled to expect a reward from God for tzedakah. It's written, we'll speak of it. So it's an investment, tzedakah. Because you give, you will receive a brocha from God. You invest. Now suppose you invest your money, you want to buy stocks. You will think twice. You won't just give your money like this. You will take all kinds of information on this stock. What are the chances that it will go higher? You don't want to have a failure with this. Same thing with tzedakah. When you give a very little amount of money, it doesn't matter. But when you give a big amount, you have to know what is the use of tzedakah. You have to know to whom it goes. And this is what I do. So when you choose to whom you give, it's better. And there is a third reason, which is more subtle. Listen well. It's written concerning the Mashiach in the Navi Zechariah. The Mashiach will be Ani Rochev al Chamor, a poor man riding a donkey. So the question can be asked, the Jews, who are big donators, Baruch Hashem, it's already more than thousands of years they are waiting for the Mashiach, and they will leave the Mashiach as a poor man on a donkey. They cannot buy him a big car, a limousine. Yeah? What is this? So Rashi there explains, what is Ani Rochev al Chamor? A poor man, yes, riding a donkey. Rashi says, Ani Leshon Anvatan. Poor here is the same root and the same meaning as Anvatan, that means humble. Why humility is described in terms of poverty? Because normally a poor man is humble. Why? Because when you feel strength, you can be arrogant, chas v'shalom. But when you feel crushed by life, you are not arrogant. You don't have this power. Once, a friend of mine told me like this. Sometimes, you know, you give a coin to a poor man, and it happened to me that the guy, you know, he shakes your hands like this with despise because he thinks it's not enough what you give. You are just mocking at me. So I have a friend. So once I said to one of them, I told him, do you know what are my means? Do you know what I'm earning? Maybe this little coin that I gave you, it's on my food. You don't know who am I. So how can you take the risk to do like this? And he admitted. And he took it. Yeah. But I have a friend of mine who told me something very intelligent. He told me, you know, when a poor man, a so-called poor man, does this to me, I don't feel any obligation to give. Because I think this is the sign, the proof that he is not poor. Because if he was poor, he wouldn't have the arrogance to do this. Because the poor man is humble, he's crushed by life. He doesn't have any strength to do such a thing. He doesn't have self-confidence, a poor man. So that's the reason why, when we speak of the Mashiach, Ani Rochev al Chamor, we say a poor man riding on a donkey. Rashi says poor means humble. But why? I explain to you why there is a connection between poor and humble. So now, when a poor man, listen, takes in my back, I don't know it's him. But since he's poor, sometimes he doesn't have the strength to conceal his feelings. Because to conceal your feelings needs a self-confidence, a strength. So when he will see me in the street and he knows that he took from me, he will blush a bit, yes? He will have some reactions in his face that he will betray. He will reveal, despite himself, that he took from me. And I will understand, even if I don't show him that I understand, I will understand that this is one of the people who took from me. But when I put in his letterbox, and I know it's him, but I am rich, so I have the strength to conceal my reactions. So when I will meet him in the street, I won't show anything. I have the strength to conceal. He doesn't have the strength to conceal. This is the reason why it's better that I put in his letterbox than the reverse situation when he takes in my bag. So you have three reasons why the third degree is before the fourth. Now, what is the fifth degree? The fifth degree, it's the second half of the board. You have a board, a list with 8 degrees. So we saw 4 degrees, now we are in the second half. The second half is no more anonymous. The second half begins, the fifth degree, I give him face to face. So it's worst. It's not so good, let's say, because it's face to face. But I give him before he asks. So since I give him before he asks, he avoids the shame to ask. The sixth degree is when I give him face to face. Yes. I give him after he asks, but I give him as much as he needs. So since I give him as much as he needs, he feels that I don't give him, you know, in a reluctant way. So he doesn't feel ashamed. The seventh degree, I give him pachot min ha-ra'uy, the Shulchan Aruch says, less than what is suitable to him, less than his needs, but besever panim yafot, with a joyful face. Hello, how are you? Everything is okay, please, my pleasure. So he doesn't feel ashamed because he thinks he is so pleased to give me. I gave him a pleasure. Yes, and it's not written panim yafot, with a nice face. It's written sever panim yafot. What is the word sever? Sever comes from thinking. And our sages explain, even if deep down you are worried that you give him and you think maybe I gave too much and maybe I will need this, but you don't show him. You give him a possibility to think that you are joyful. This is the main thing. This is one of the cases you have the right and even the duty to be hypocrite. You say hypocrite in English? Tzavua, yeah. And this is also written, the same expression is written in Pirkei Avot. Eve mekabel et kol ha'adam besever panim yafot. You should receive every person besever panim yafot, not with a welcoming face, a nice face, a joyful face, but sever panim yafot. A nice face that he thinks that you are happy. Because maybe this guy disturbs you. He comes in the middle of your work. But just so you are disturbed. And you have the right to be inside disturbed. Just don't show him. That he should think that you are happy to receive him. Eve mekabel et kol ha'adam, receive any person, besever panim yafot, that he should think that you are happy. Same thing here. The same expression in the laws of tzedakah. In the seventh attitude, the seventh degree, you give him less than what he needs, but in such a way that he thinks that you are happy. This is the main thing. Now we come to the lowest degree. The eighth degree is to give be'etzev, means with sadness. To give with sadness, the commentaries there of the Shulchan Aruch say a very important thing. They say, to give with sadness doesn't mean that you show that you are sad to give. Why? Listen well. Because they say here we speak of the 8 degrees of tzedakah. All the degrees are included in the mitzvah of tzedakah. Just some are higher than others, where they are all included in what is called tzedakah. But the commentaries say, if you are going to show to this man that you are tzed, are giving, it's not called tzedakah anymore. You don't fulfill the mitzvah. You embarrass someone, so you don't fulfill the mitzvah. For instance, he asks for tzedakah and you tell him, okay, take. You didn't make the mitzvah at all. You are just embarrassing someone. So if you are going to show the sadness, it wouldn't be in the list of the 8 degrees of tzedakah. It would be completely erased from the list. We speak of a sadness that you conceal. You have it inside. Yes? And nevertheless, it's called tzedakah because you conceal your sadness. But it's the lowest degree of tzedakah. Why? Because we have to do all the mitzvot with joy. This is written by the Rambam in Ilchot Lulav, that we have to do all the mitzvot with joy, as is written in the Psalm number 100, Kuf, Mizmor Kuf, Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. Serve God with joy. Because when you serve God with joy, you do it with enthusiasm, and so you do it better. Yeah?
I have many questions. I'm not only at the start, I have many questions. But the question of tzedakah, I asked once a rav why you shouldn't make a bracha on tzedakah. I said, when anybody gives away money, he says they always feel a little bit sad. They always feel sad. So therefore, he says, we don't make bracha. We only make a bracha on something we're happy from. So that's the opposite of what you're saying here.
We don't say
a bracha.
Yeah, that means like this. We don't say that when you are sad, you don't do the tzedakah. When you are sad, you do the tzedakah, provided that you conceal your sadness. It's still tzedakah, but it's the lowest degree, because when you do the thing, it's not true that you're always sad to give tzedakah. Sometimes I feel a real joy to give tzedakah. It's not true that you are always sad. I don't agree with this. I feel it myself.
So I asked him why we don't make a bracha.
So
make a bracha when you're
the problem is that your Rav doesn't know me. If he had known me, he wouldn't have said such a thing. Okay. Let's go a bit further.
Maybe the money isn't yours. It's Hashem. He gave it to you. So in other words, making it's not yours really. You're here on earth and you're living and everything else and you're getting food, clothing, and shelter in some shape or form, but it all comes from upstairs, especially if you're in business.
That means when you receive money, we say like this, a part of the money is yours, and a part of the money was entrusted to you in order to be given to some other people. It's like you have a function. The function is to give. Yeah. Okay, I want to go further because there are a lot of things to say. Maybe many of the questions that you have will be answered by what I have to say now. We'll see at the end. If you have still questions, I will answer with pleasure. So now, what can we expect from the tzedakah? It's written in Malachi, in the prophet Malachi, and it's brought in the last perek of Gemara Makot. Banai bechanunina bezot. My children, please test me on this. Please, na is leshon bakasha. God is asking, please test me on this. We shouldn't test God in anything. It's forbidden to test God. For instance, someone cannot say to God, no, from now onwards I'm going to don't fill in. I will see if you give me a parnasa for this. It's forbidden to do this. Don't test God. Then there is only one mitzvah that you are authorized to test God, and not only that you are allowed to do it, you are asked to do it. Please, my children, test me on this. That means that when you give tzedakah, you become rich. Aser te'aser. It's not written give the tithe. It's written twice. The tithe, give the tithe. 10% of what you earn, you give. And our sages explain like this, aser te'aser means aser, it's a play on words, aser kedei she'tasher. Give the tithe in order to become rich. Why is it so? We'll see. But nevertheless, it's written, yoter mima she'abal habayit ose le'ani, e'ani ose le'bal habayit. I translate. More than what the rich does for the needy does for the rich. Why? Because you give a coin to someone, and by accepting this coin, the needy gives you a blessing, which is sometimes limitless. Through this, you will be saved from health problems. You will be rich. So more than what you do, for him, he is doing for you. This is the reason for why. This is the reason why, in Eastern Europe, in Poland, there was a minag that when X gives tzedakah to Y, it's not Y who says thank you because he received tzedakah. The giver was saying thank you to the poor man. It was a minag. A rich man gives tzedakah to a poor man. The poor man didn't say thank you. The rich man was saying thank you because he receives more than the man who receives the money.
But he's not going to develop good quality of a poor man if he doesn't say thank you. It's
okay.
Not good to say thank you. He's stimulating the rich man to give more and more to others.
Maybe the both can say thank you, but
doesn't
if
expect,
but the yeah, but the thing is, the man who receives the more is the man who gives. And you know, this is the reason why, for instance, in Hebrew language even, to give is Natan means to give. This is Nun Tav Nun Sofit. And it is one of the words that you can read in both senses. Yes? That means you can read in both sides, yeah. You can read from right to left, Nun Tav Nun Natan. From left to right, Nun Tav Nun Natan. Why? Because when you give, it comes back afterwards. You know, this is exactly the same spirit in Lashon HaKodesh, in holy language. And why?
Rich man to take it to a woman.
Yeah. No. Let's say like this. Let's say, why is it so? First, why? Why I have to give in order to become rich? It's written, Li ha-kesef veli ha-zahav amar Hashem. To me belongs the silver and azahav and the gold, God says. So if you teach a young child this verse, the young child will tell you, the whole wealth of the world belongs to God, yes. And when God gives, he becomes more poor because of this? No, he stays on the same level of richness. So the young child will tell you, so why he doesn't give? If I was God, the young child would say, and I have a lot of wealth, and when I give, I stay as rich as before. So why he doesn't give? This is the question of the young child. And I answer the young child like this. He doesn't give because we don't deserve. And we don't deserve means that if you don't deserve something, you are not built to have it. And you have it, it can spoil you. For instance, one of my friends, I was studying with him Gemara, once he came to the Chavruta and he told me that he read a survey concerning the people in France who won in the lotto, very huge amount of money. And the survey was saying like this. At the beginning, they all have the same itinerary. That means they leave their jobs. They don't need to work anymore. And they buy in a mad way, completely without any reason. They buy 8 cars on one spot. Yeah, they are become mad. And they divorce their wives because now they can have all the girls they want. Yeah, so the families are getting separated. And at the end, some of them become drug addicts and some of them committed suicide. This is the investigation. And this is called in Kabbalah, Shvirat HaKelim, the breaking of the vessels. We explain in Kabbalah that when abundance comes at a sudden, too quickly, the vessels is not ready to welcome this, to receive this, and it gets broken. So you have to be very careful that richness can become a poison. So God waits for the moment you are ready to welcome richness and to stay humble and to stay reasonable. So now, What's the connection with giving? To give is always hard. Why? Because naturally speaking, the ego of a person is attached to his belongings. Yes? It's mine! Yes, I'm attached to this. This is the ego. And when you say to your ego, please, keep silent, I've decided to give, you will be deprived of this. And you dominate your ego, and more you give and more you dominate your ego and your selfishness, so you show to God that even when you are rich, you will be able to dominate your ego and you won't be an arrogant person. So God says, listen, we can give to this man. He's humble and he will stay humble even when he is rich. And this is the reason why it's written in Likutei Etzot, Rabbi Nachman Mibreslav, that sometimes God wants to make someone rich or give him a brocha, a good amount of money. So what does he do? He sends him a last trial, a last nisayon. This is the nisayon of anger. He puts this man in such a situation that he will be tempted, very tempted, to become angry, to lose his temper. If he loses his temper, the money doesn't come to him. If he refrains from losing his temper, he will receive the money. What's the connection? When you lose your temper too easily, it shows that you have an ego which is too strong. When you are able to dominate your ego, and it doesn't mean that you will stay with this inside. Rambam says that when you have something against someone, you should never keep it inside. He says the Rishayim do this. They keep everything inside and then they don't speak to the person to show that they are not happy with him. He says a normal person in the Torah goes to the person and tells him, why did you do this to me? Why did you make such a sin to me? Face to face. But the real thing is to refrain from getting angry on the moment, because anyway, when you are getting angry, the other person is also getting angry, so he is not listening to you, even if you are right. On the moment, you refrain. Next day, you go and you put a letter in front of him. This is what happened to me in the super. I will tell you the story. In the super, I went to the super down in Shaulzon, and there is a guy who is supposed to watch the people. Meafteach, yeah? He was with his, an iPhone, yeah? This kind of mobile with everything, computer, everything in the mobile. In English, in French, we call this iPhone, yeah?
iPhone.
Yeah.
iPad.
So, iPad. And he was with the iPad like this, and he was concentrated on his iPad, and he didn't see even anyone who was going in. So I thought in myself, that's a danger. Because anyway, why he's here? To check the people. So anyone could get with a bag. I was with a bag, he didn't see me. I could have a bomb in my bag. So I went to the director and I told him. And she told me, you are completely right. Thank you that you told me. I'm going to tell him. So a girl who was also there and who is also in charge with this, when I went out of the store, she told me, "Al telamed otanu et ha'avodah shelanu. Don't teach us our work." And she became, how to say in English, scolding me, yeah? To shout on someone, to... There was a word, I forgot. In Hebrew we say, "Ligor b'mishehu." Ani goer b'cha. To scold someone, I think, yeah? No? You don't see it?
Reprimand.
Yeah, to reprimand. She became reprimanding. So, one day after...
Rebuke.
To rebuke me. One day after, the day after, on Friday, I went there, and I told her, "This is for you." And I went. Just a letter, and it was a demonstration that she was wrong. I said, first of all, he didn't see me even. So how can you speak for him? You were not there. You didn't see the situation. So how can you go against me? You don't know what happened. I knew what happened. He did not even see the people. So you just speak like this because he is your colleague and you want to defend him. This is not true. Second, I didn't speak against him. I spoke for the sake of the community because it is dangerous. Third thing, and even if you tell me that he doesn't need to check someone who has a kippah, this is also not true. Because when Nachshon Waksman was kidnapped by the terrorists who killed him, they disguised themselves into Haredi people with beards and hats. I wrote all this and I gave. She cannot answer anything. If I had become angry on the moment, she would have listened. She wouldn't have listened to me, and she would have spoken in a louder voice, and me also in a louder voice with shouts, and that's it, no more, fire. I refrained on the moment, but nevertheless, she listened to all that I had to say in a way of demonstration, no way of escaping this truth, because it's a demonstration. So you shouldn't stay with the thing inside, but you have to know how to communicate. So if you do this, you receive the money. Why? Because you show to God that you are able to master your ego. So God can give you. Because even if you become rich, you won't become arrogant through richness. That's the reason why Rabbi Nachman Breslav says in Nikutei Etzot, the chapter Ka'as, on anger, when God wants to give money to someone, first he puts him to trial, he gives him a temptation to become angry. He resists through the temptation, he will receive the money. He doesn't resist, he won't receive. Now, this is also something that you find in the laws of agriculture, the payah. When you have a field and you are plowing your field, you have to leave a corner, which is called payah, a corner to the poor people. Why? Because when you plow your fields, you make a harvest and you see the crop. So you see the richness. You see the barn will be full, yeah, today. So you feel a feeling of power. So at the last moment, you have to break this feeling of power for your own good. How do you break it? I cannot touch the last corner. It's not mine. It's for someone else. You break this feeling of power. I remember, and this you find, you know, even by the non-Jews. I remember when I studied this, I remember when I was 14 years old. And my family was not so religious, and I watched the TV in my aunt's home. But I remember one thing. There was someone who is a French writer, and he was telling about his childhood. And he said that in his childhood, he was going to his grandmother. And the grandmother, there was a bunch of grapes above his head, above his bed. And the grandmother told him, listen, you can eat all the grapes. During the night, it grows again. And you will find the bunch of grapes in the morning completely the same. But provided that you leave at least one grapes. If you eat all the grapes, it will be empty in the morning. You won't find anything. If you leave one, just one, in the morning you will find a new bunch of grapes. So he says, no, I know, yes, that it was not a miracle. It was my grandmother who was doing this during my sleep. But when I was a child, I thought there was a miracle if I leave just one grapes. And the lesson is the same lesson that we have in Peah, in the Bible. You want to keep your richness, don't use everything. Leave for other people. And indeed, you have to know that it's not so automatic to become rich through tzedakah. Why? Because when, you know, in physics, we were taught in high school, you see this arrow and this arrow. This pushes, let's say, a thing up. And this pushing this is pushing a thing on the same level. Yes? If you have the two together, the result will be that it will go like this, just in the middle. This is called the result of the forces. Force 1, force 2, force 3 will be the result of the two forces together. Same thing in spiritual realm. In spiritual realm, for instance, I give tzedakah, I create a possibility of becoming rich. I am angry, I create a possibility of becoming poor. I do the same, I do the both in the same time. In the same time, I am generous and I am angry, the result will be in the middle. And sometimes it will be the reverse result of what I am expecting. And the Gemara gives an example, the example of Nagdimon ben Gurion. He was a very, very rich man, one of the richest of his generation. And one day Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw the daughter of Nagdimon ben Gurion, and she was begging. She didn't have any food. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told her, "Where is the money of your father's house? He was so rich." So she says, "You know what is what they say in Jerusalem? Melach mamon chaser. The salt, because at that time they didn't have refrigerator and they were conserving the meat with salt. Yeah, the salt, the preservation of richness, chaser is." That you have to lack of it by giving to other people. Melach mamon chaser. Chaser. And there is another version there which says melach mamon chesed. It's almost the same. Chesed means generosity. So the Gemara says, but Nagdimon ben Gurion was giving a lot of money. When he was going in the street, there were putting some silken carpets in front of him, and he was going on carpets of silk. And after he was stepping on the carpets, the poor people were coming and were rolling up the carpets for themselves, and they were selling them. So he was going a lot. He was giving a lot of money. So and he became poor, a man who gave such amount of tzedakah. And the Gemara gives two answers. First answer, he was giving a lot, aval lichvodo haya oseh, but he was doing this for his prestige, show me. So not only that he didn't become rich, yes, he became completely ruined. He didn't have a penny. Lichvodo haya oseh, he was doing this for his prestige. Why? Because when you do this to show off, you don't show to God that you dominate your ego. Your ego dominates you. And you use tzedakah for your ego, not for the sake of the mitzvah. He lost everything. The second answer of the Gemara is, Lefum gamala shechana. According to the camel is the burden of the camel. If you have a weak camel, you don't put a lot on its back. If the camel is strong, you can put a lot on its back. Same thing here. He was very rich, and he gave a lot. But the lot that he gave, according to what he had, was nothing. Suppose you have every day $1 million, and you give every day $1 million. You don't feel the effort of giving. So you cannot become rich. Because to become rich is to dominate the ego, to feel the effort. It has to cost you an effort. When it costs you an effort, and you do nevertheless the effort, so you make the effort, yeah? So you are entitled to expect a blessing from God. But here he was giving a lot, but what he was giving was nothing compared to what he had. So he became poor. It's always the same idea, that it has to cost you something. It has to cost you an effort. Now, of course, since God commits himself to make us rich through tzedakah, we shouldn't be afraid of giving. Le'olam lo ya'aneh adam min tzedakah. The Rambam says, it never happens that a man becomes poor because he gave tzedakah. This cannot be. I remember once a letter that I saw of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he wrote a letter to someone who gave tzedakah, and the Rebbe wanted to tell him with refinement, a lot of refinement, and without being aggressive, that what he gave was a little amount. He could have given more. And the Rebbe said like this. He said, the previous Rebbe, my father-in-law, wanted to make you rich. So since he wanted to make you rich, he told you to give a lot. And you know what is written. Malve l'Hashem chonendal. This I say, it was not in the written letter, but I just add this to understand the thought of the Rebbe. It's written, Malve Hashem chonendal. The man who gives to a poor, he is just lending to God. God will give him back with interest. And it's written, En HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nishar Baal Chov. God doesn't stay with debts. God pays his debts. When you give to a poor man, God is committed to give you back. So God won't stay with the debt. So he said in the letter, since God is committed, yes, to give you so much more than what you give. So, Lama atem merachmim al kadosh baruch hu. He was saying in the letter, why do you have so much mercy, so much pity on God? If God is obliged to give you, okay. Lama atem merachmim al kadosh baruch hu. That means that we have to give with trust in God and with self-confidence. Now, of course, to whom should we give? First of all, the priority is your own family. This is the first priority. A karov karov kodem. First, the people who are near to you. Then, the people who are close to you because they are your neighbors. Between the poor of your city and the poor of another city, you give the priority to aniye irecha kodmim. It's written, the poor of your city, kodmim, they have the priority on other people. And also, it's written also in the Tanya that the tzedakah that you give in Eretz Israel has more effect on you because there is no boundaries. There is no separation between Achzot Achaim, between the countries of life. Israel is a country of life, and there above, by God, it's also a country of life. So there is no separation. So it's higher to give tzedakah in Eretz Israel. It is the reason why when I do this shiur, when I do this lecture in Chutz La'aretz, I tell them, you have to give first to the people of your environment, of your surroundings, of your city, but nevertheless, you have always to leave a part for Eretz Israel, because it's very high to give in Eretz Israel. Okay. Let me just finish.
Questions after.
Yeah, after. Now, I want to finish. There are also times to give which are better than others. It's always good to give, and it's written in the Shulchan Aruch that we should give tzedakah before praying. Va'ani betzedek echeze parnecha. It's a verse. Va'ani betzedek echeze parnecha. And me, with tzedakah, I will contemplate your face. To contemplate the face of God is the moment of the prayer. Provided that first you care for giving tzedakah. And we are accustomed to give tzedakah in the morning. At the moment we say, Vayivarech David. At this moment we put a coin in the pushka. And in Elul, it's a very good time during between the first Elul and Yom Kippurim, during 40 days to give tzedakah because we need to be forgiven, and it's also a very important thing. Provided that you give tzedakah with all the cautions that I told you, to give discreetly is a wonderful thing. It's written, Matan beseter yirpe'af. When you give in a secret way, nobody knows that you gave, yes, this appeases God's anger. If you see that God is angry at you, help the people in a completely discreet way. It helps a lot. And, of course, you would tell me, so it's not possible to give publicly? When you give in an open way, there is a danger that you give to show off. But nevertheless, there are two reasons to give publicly also, to give in an open way. The first reason you could give openly is the fact that people shouldn't suspect you that you don't want to give. It's written, Aser mimcha lazut sfataim. Keep away from you the blames of the people. That means we see concerning Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, Nekiim me Hashem u me Israel. They were clean in God's eyes and in Israel's eyes. So they ask the question, if I am clean, if I am okay in God's eyes, why should I care what the people think of me? No, you should care. Sometimes you do something very well, but in such a way that the people suspect that you are bad. It's not good. Don't raise any suspicion concerning your attitude. So if you always give in a secret way, it's wonderful, but people will suspect you that you are not interested to help. So give also a minimum in an open way to show that I'm here, I participate, me too. And also, there is a second reason to give in an open way, is that by giving in an open way, you make in such a way that people will also give, because they will see your example and they will have also a desire to give. So you create the desire to give by other people. So if you give in an open way, and it's clear to you that this is your intent, first of all, they shouldn't suspect me. And secondly, maybe some other people will give because they will see me giving, so it's good. But be careful that this is your real intention and not to show off. Now I will finish by a last aspect concerning tzedakah. It's Siman Resh Nun He in the Yoredea. Siman Rina. Rina means joy. Resh Nun He is 255. Learchik mikabalata. That we should give, but we should, as much as we can, we should keep away from receiving tzedakah. And the Shulchan Aruch speaks of three levels. The first level, Shulchan Aruch says, it's someone who doesn't need tzedakah. He can live on himself, but he's deceiving the people, he's cheating the people to get money. The Shulchan Aruch says, this man, before he dies, God will make in such a way that he will be poor and he will be obliged to ask. Why? Because he cheated the people and he said that he needs, and indeed he doesn't need. So, Lo Yamut, before he will die, he will have to ask. The opposite, the extreme opposite, is someone who cannot live without begging. The Shulchan Aruch says, a poor man... He says, Zaken, someone who is old, he cannot work anymore. He doesn't have a pension. At the time, there was no pension. Someone who is ill, he cannot work. Baal Yisurim, someone who is suffering, he cannot work. And this man cannot live the minimum of living, eat, drink, if he doesn't ask money from people. If this man, nevertheless, is very proud, and he says, no, I won't ask, he's killing himself, so he's committing a very big sin. It's like a suicide. Suicide is forbidden. So he shouldn't think that he's doing a mitzvah by avoiding asking. He's committing a sin, a big sin. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Mitchayev ben afsho. He is guilty because of his life, that he's abandoning his life, his own life. There is no choice, you cannot leave, so you have to ask. It becomes a duty to ask in such a case, Chas v'Shalom. And then, the last case, is someone who is poor, very poor, but he can live without tzedakah. A very hard life, but he can live. He won't have a mattress, he will sleep on a blanket. He will drink only water. He won't eat meat. He will eat some fish, some vegetables. Very hard life. But nevertheless, he won't die. It's sure he won't die. Can he ask for tzedakah? Yes, he can. Because he's poor anyway. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that to give an authorization to a man to ask for tzedakah means that he's to such a point that he's going to die. No. We don't say this. If he's really poor, even if he's not going to die, he's entitled to ask for tzedakah. The question is, can he avoid? Does he have the right to avoid asking? Yes. He can choose not to ask. Why? Because he's not going to die. He's going in a very, very strict way, in a very hard way, and so on. He's not going to die. So he can ask, but he can also choose not to ask, because it's not a suicide. So he has the option to ask or not to ask in this third situation. And the Shulchan Aruch says that if he chooses not to ask, in order not to be a burden on the community, he will be blessed. And before he dies, he will give to others, and he will nourish, he will feed the others. הוא יפרנס את האחרים. ועליו הכתוב אומר, and on this man is written the verse, אשרי הגבר אשר יפתח בהשם. Happy is the man who trusts in God. He trusted in God. He says, no, as long as I don't die, I won't ask. And he could ask. He has the right to ask. But he doesn't want to ask. He will be blessed that one day he will be the giver. And on him is written, Ashrei Adam Asher Yiftach BaHashem. Happy the man who trusts in God. This is it. Thank you for listening.
What you said now.